everybody. How's it going? Welcome to another episode of Halifax is Burning, the campus and community radio program, where you're going to hear the best in Atlantic Canadian music. I'm your host, Trevor Murphy, here to be your guide for the next 60 minutes. And we've got a great show lined up for you, as we do every single Tuesday here on Halifax is Burning. This week on the show, an interview with Keegan Goodspeed of the band Botfly. They are a band who have released one of my favorite albums of 2017. We've also got new music from Wesley Smith and Working Titles coming at you later on the program. Plus, we'll hear from some of this year's Music Nova Scotia Award winners. And in fact, that's where we'll start. For the fifth year in a row, yes, the fifth, this show, Halifax is Burning, was named Music Nova Scotia's Radio Program of the Year. A huge thanks to all the members of the industry who took the time to vote for this show again this year. I'm so happy and psyched to be here each and every week to talk about amazing emerging Atlantic Canadian music. And I truly appreciate everyone who tunes into the radio, listens to the podcast, and helps to spread the good word in general about Halifax is Burning, whether you're following along on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, listening to podcasts, doing whatever you do. Thank you so much for the support. I really appreciate it. Over 8 years on the air, I often get asked what the title of this show means. What does Halifax is Burning mean? And in part, I use it as a reference to describe how much of a hotbed the city of Halifax is for new, incredible, independent music. But its original source is actually the title of a song by Miles Deck and the Fuzz, a great band from Nova Scotia that was releasing music here in the mid to late aughts. So in celebration of our fifth Music Nova Scotia Award for Radio Program of the Year, let's kick things off with the show's namesake. From the album Beware the Fuzz, here is Halifax is Burning by Miles Deck and the Fuzz. You're tuned in to Halifax is Burning. Duh.
Vous écoutez CBC Radio.
Officials at City Hall are issuing a code red for residents of the Halifax area this weekend.
Firefighters were able to contain a blaze at a warehouse in the South End today. No one was hurt. Investigators are still trying to determine the cause. Arson is suspected.
And now the forecast for HRM. On Tuesday, you can expect citywide fires. Wednesday, calls for mass hysteria. And on Thursday, everyone is dead.
We'll be right back.
her new album, Keeping Appearances. That's Jessie Brown, a track called Debt. We Ain't Got No Money. The video for that song was named Music Nova Scotia's Music Video of the Year at the Music Nova Scotia Awards Gala this past Sunday in Truro, Nova Scotia. Ahead of that track from Jessie Brown, we heard a track from Like a Motorcycle from their album High Hopes, a track called Southern States. High Hopes won Like a Motorcycle the Rock Recording of the Year award at the Music Nova Scotia Awards this year. And we kicked everything off tonight with a track from Miles Deck and the Fuzz. You hear a little bit of it on the top of the show every week here. It is this show's namesake, a track called Halifax is Burning from an excellent record called Beware the Fuzz, celebrating Halifax is Burning's fifth Music Nova Scotia Award for Radio Program of the Year. Very excited about that, and very excited to have you listening every single week. If you do, if you are listening, if you're out there, hello, thank you. Every week here on the show, the goal is to tell you about some really new and exciting music in not only in Halifax, but around Atlantic Canada. One of my favorite records of the whole year was released by a band called Botfly. It's a self-titled record. Guitarist and singer Keegan Goodspeed is going to join me in the studio in about 5 minutes, but first we're going to hear the opening track from this excellent record. Here's a track by Botfly. It's called Disjointed. You're tuned in to Halifax is Burning. That's the opening track from a new record by a band called Botfly. Highly recommend checking it out. It's one of my favorite records of the whole year, and I'm very excited to have Keegan Goodspeed here in the studio tonight to talk about it a little bit. How's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing, Trevor?
Nice of you to stop by. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I got a lot of those blue trophies now. My house is kind of looking like the Blue Lagoon. I'm not complaining, but I think they're cumbersome, man. They look like Mega Man arms.
Well, you could have a party and everybody could drink beer out of them.
Yes,
that'd be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I have to find a good use for them for sure. They do make excellent drumstick holders.
Oh yeah, that would work. Yeah. You could probably aerate your wine in them.
Hey, now we're talking. Yeah. Yeah, we should just do a whole series on what we can do with those blue trophies. Speaking of congratulations on this record. It's amazing, man.
Thank
really,
you so
truly.
Much.
Tell me a little bit about the band going into making this record. I mean, we've heard some stuff from Botfly on the program in the past before. What was going in to make this record all about for Botfly?
Let's see. It's a mixture of things. Everybody in the band wanting to put out a vinyl record, mm-hmm. a vinyl record that was just ours, because obviously we did that split with Bonesaw, which was really cool, but that was only 10 inches and we wanted to do a 12 inch
right.
record, obviously. So, I don't know. We've been playing together for coming on 4 years, 4 years on the 15th of this month actually is when we'll be 4 years as a band. So we've been releasing music for quite some time, and you know, we just really wanted to make a full length record, something that really represented everything we've done, everything that we feel, everything that we're planning on doing, everything that we thought we were at that point in time. So we just, I had all these ideas, and the, you know, me and the guys, we just wanted to write these songs. So we just started going at it. We were jamming twice a week for, you know, 3 hours each time, and just trying to pump out these songs and work these ideas out till the point that we were all happy with it. It wasn't just like a, okay, yeah, that's good enough. It was always a, is that right? Is that where we want the sound sonically to be? Do we want to quiet down? Do we want to be louder? Do we want to be longer? Do we want to be short? You know, it was a really thought out process, as opposed to just, okay, here's the song I have. Let's write it and start playing it.
Right. Yeah. And when you're going through that process, are there like fence posts, you know, like do you have something in your mind where you're using as a reference, or is it a lot of feeling that just kind of goes into the process as a three-piece? By the way, you may not know from hearing that song, this is a three-piece band, like so huge.
Well, we have enough gear for about seven people.
Yeah, exactly. But that, so does the gear itself influence the songwriting sometimes? I got to think that like a certain tone can really just inspire a certain riff sometimes.
It's funny because kind of going along with before just being like, okay, I have this song, let's write it, let's go with it. A lot of these songs we're just hanging out in the jam space after practice, and I'll just start playing something because, you know, the creativity's flowing and you're just kind of going with it. And we just write songs off of that. Like the whole process of these songs was truly the three of us. It was like, yeah, I had a couple ideas here, or Dwayne wanted to do something there, or Sean wanted to have a bass line that sounded like this or sounded like that, or had more punchy parts in it, something like that. But it was all very organic and collective.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's probably the most honest sounding thing we've done. I really believe it's the three of us creating something together, as opposed to the three of us trying to sound like this band.
Right.
Or trying to write a song that sounds like this band or whatever.
Yeah, there is a nice bit of dynamic on this record where, you know, you've got some really heavy stuff, but then you've got some really slowed down and pretty stuff too. The last track on the record features some spoken word stuff. You know, and we were talking off mic about how you were listening to the record for the first time through, and the sequencing of a record, how important it was to kind of like get that right. Are those things you're thinking about when you're writing songs as well?
Maybe not while I'm writing, but when we're starting to piece together what song's going to go where, and you start seeing the kind of songs you have, and then you realize, okay, we need something a little bit more like this to fit in this area. Because for me to have a record that's just fast song after fast song after fast song, you get five songs in, you're like, okay, I've had
it.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need that dynamic flow, and you need that change of pace.
Right.
So when you have maybe, let's say, the first five songs written for your record, you start realizing where you want to place them in that record, and the other ideas start flowing, and then you're like, okay, I need this slower, ambient, more post-rock song to fit in here to kind of bridge the gap and to give the listener a break from all this pummeling of your eardrums, basically. So it's definitely always in my mind a flow of how things are going to go, even down to our live sets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to make sure that we're starting with something that's either about to ramp up or it starts right out of the get-go. You never want to start with something that's kind of just like a filler song.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that's obvious for anyone who plays live music.
Yeah, that's a good live music tip in general. Yeah. Play one of your best songs first, for sure.
And then you always want to end with something that is the same way. You want to end with something that has a significant ending.
Mm-hmm.
Something that leaves the audience being like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
Which I personally think we do that.
I want to talk to you a little bit about playing live, because you're not a band who plays a lot. You kind of strike me as a band who kind of plays when it matters. And I'm also wondering, you know, I think we talk a lot about music in Halifax on this radio program, and Halifax has a very deep and steep reputation as being like a kind of hub for live music. I think when people think about music in Halifax, they don't necessarily think about heavy music, even though there is a really strong presence here and has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it more difficult as a band who plays this kind of music to find shows, to play in rooms where people are going to, you know about it? Yeah, you know?
That's a funny question, because it's a double-edged sword. We pull from a lot of different genres, so we get thrown on the punk show, we get thrown on the metal show, we get thrown on the hardcore show. It doesn't matter, because we kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
But once we reached the point where people were kind of figuring out who we were and we kind of noticed a bit of buzz about ourselves, we really took things into our own hands. Also, the all-ages heavy music scene was a little bit low at this point in time. This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
So we ended up booking our own shows and having kind of creative control in that sense. So we were able to make shows that made sense for us. We've been able to be in control of what we want to do. So for us to find a show has never been an issue, because if we wanted to play, we would just make it ourselves. We've made it happen.
Right.
We're like, well, we want to play a show. Let's make something where people would like to see, and what we would like to see. Not just, oh, we want to play a show, let's slap the coolest bands in town on it. It was like, no, we want to play with our friends. We want to play with some new people that we don't know. We want to play some cool bands that we'd like to see live because we haven't seen them yet, or something like that. You know, it's just, you got to make those things happen if they're not there.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't understand how, for a certain amount of time here in this city, there was kind of a lack of an all-ages scene, lack of a better word. Not that the people weren't there, but that, you know, when I first moved here 15 years ago, there seemed to be a lot of places for bands to do all-ages shows, and that seemed to be reduced very quickly. As someone who is, you know, maybe in that pocket of the gap years or something, is your sense of growing up in a city like Halifax, going to see music, have you noticed that change, and has that affected you as a musician to want to put on more all-ages shows, for example?
It's kind of a classic thing where there's a wave, right? There's some years it's good, there's some years it's bad. I started going to shows 12 years ago at the Pavilion, and then I spent my youth there, and then it shut down for 4 years.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Plan B, there was literally nowhere for all ages shows to happen. And then you wonder why there was no young bands coming up, because there's nowhere for them to play, really.
Yeah.
And then with the resurgence of the Pavilion, it's been nice to see. Although with Plan B, I mean, the all ages scene has been growing very strong for the past little while. And yeah, when you don't see an all ages scene and you see your city lacking that, and you know that it needs that, it absolutely makes you want to find somewhere to put those shows on, make those shows happen, make people realize that you know, playing in bands is fun.
Yeah.
You should do it. It's a good pastime. It keeps you from doing other silly stuff that you probably shouldn't be doing. You know, like, and it's a good outlet. You know, it's a good outlet for your emotion. It's a good outlet for your creativity. It's worthwhile.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's listen to another track from the record if we could.
Absolutely.
I'm going to play Yellow Bike Road.
Cool.
Anything you can tell us about this song?
This song, we tried to sound like North of America.
Aha, uh-huh,
there
you go.
I don't think it really worked, but, but so, yeah.
A little bit of a mathy influence on this one.
Yeah, it was our attempt.
Okay, here we go. Good notes to go in. From their self-titled LP, this is Botfly and Yellow Bike Road. You're tuned in to Halifax is Burning. Self-titled LP, that's Botfly, and a track called Yellow Bike Road. guitarist and singer Keegan Goodspeed from the band Botfly, joins me in studio tonight. We were talking about all ages music, and while this song was playing, you mentioned you haven't played a bar show in 2 years?
We haven't played a Halifax bar show.
Right, yeah.
In a little over 2 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact. I just wanted everybody to know.
Yeah, we, for some reason, have not broke into being, we're just not aware of in that scene.
And right.
The one bar that would let us play there, we don't want to play at, so.
Well, I think there's still some hope yet. There are some good places out there. I think it's just about maybe the right bill for you guys, too. And
well, there's definitely that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You just got back from a tour?
Yep.
How did that go?
It was fantastic. Fantastic. We've been very fortunate on the road so far. We've been out quite a few times. Quite a few times is a relative term, I suppose, but I feel like we've been out quite a few times. But we've been received really well on the road. We've been treated really well on the road, and we've met a lot of really nice people out on the road. And it just makes us want to go more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's we are planning to do. So
yeah, you've got a. What's the next jaunt look like for Botfly?
Currently, we are heading to Fredericton in a couple weeks, and then in December we are going to Cape Breton and PEI, and then in January we are hopefully going to Moncton and St. John, and then in March we will be going on another 11-day tour.
Great.
So. Lots of stuff.
Out to Ontario and back?
Out to Ontario and back, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it again. I've said it a million times, but this is a really great record, and I'm so happy you got it into my hands, and thanks a lot for keeping me in touch with this band, because I am a kind of a big fan.
I really appreciate that. It means a lot.
We did talk a little bit about the sequencing of the record and the two songs. I mean, maybe this is a good segue out of things, because the first song we played was pretty heavy hitting. The second song we just heard was a little more, I would say, like middle of the road. The last song we're going to hear is pretty mellow. Obviously, like writing a song that's super riffy and super heavy, that has certain connotations. What kind of atmosphere, what kind of space do you put yourself in? Is it a different space when you're writing something that's a little slower and a little more atmospheric?
As corny as it might be, I like to think that everything comes from my heart. So really, it's all the same space.
Right.
I get in a very frustrated, upset headspace when I start to write. Not in a sense that I don't know what I'm trying to write. It's more of that's the mindset I'm in when these things come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as most people, I have a broad understanding and love for music. So I like to add in these softer, more emotional sides to something that's so heavy, because nobody is just angry all the time. We all have every kind of emotion. And I think it's important to showcase in your art every side of you that you're comfortable showing. And these are arguably the more deeper, sadder sides, but that's part of me. I mean, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to end any record I make on a soft note, so that you can kind of walk away from it feeling somewhat humbled or wholesome.
Yeah,
so to speak.
These sort of like, so if you have the LP, side A and B both kind of end on a mellow note. It provides a really nice counterweight to sort of everything else that you've been kind of going through. Like, it feels like sometimes with these songs, you're going through the ringer for 5 minutes or something. So to come out on the other side and, you know, just kind of let it all mellow out for a bit, and just kind of, I think it also provides the opportunity for you to like let all the stuff that has just happened sink in a lot more, and gives it's almost reflexive in a way. Mm. Where it kind of allows you this space to just breathe for a minute, and
which is funny you say that, because with that song, I was lucky enough to have my sister in town to help me do it. So for me to listen to that song when I originally wrote it and was thinking about it, it was all supposed to be me doing the spoken word,
yeah.
But we were doing it around Christmas time. She was home for Christmas, and she was willing to help me out, I guess. And out of all the songs on that record, I couldn't listen to that one for the first few times. Like, I would just cry,
because
her her approach to it made it just that much more meaningful to me and that much more real. So it really took on a whole other world of its own to do that song with her, as opposed to just me letting out how I feel in a different way. Yeah. So
it is a really nice, to have another voice on the record is really an interesting choice. And before I recognized it was your sister, I was sort of like, man, how do you even ask someone to do something like this?
And, well, yeah, there's always that. Yeah. Do you want to read some of my deepest feelings?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we're talking about a song called Gutless, which we're going to play in just a sec. And your sister, Tennille, is on the road herself right now.
Yeah, she's her and her choir, Zara, if anyone is familiar with that choir. They're fantastic. It might not be my kind of music, but anytime I've ever seen them, the amount of goosebumps I feel is unreal.
Great.
And they're off touring their Fatty Legs performance, which is a very important performance too.
And it also features Rebecca Thomas, Halifax Poet Laureate, I think. I've seen some photos of her on tour with them, I'm not sure if she's in the production, but she's with them for sure.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, we'll play the song Gutless, featuring some spoken word by your sister, Tennille. And thanks so much for coming in tonight and talking about this record. And I hope after people have heard this, they go out and buy it. And you can buy it here in Halifax. You can also buy it online. Bandcamp is
Spotify, all those streaming things that we use these days.
All the kids are doing. But Bandcamp will give the artists the most money. So if you're going to buy this record, please do it through Bandcamp. Or find these guys directly and put some money directly in their hands.
Thank you.
Self-titled record by Botfly. Here's a track called Gutless. Keegan, thanks for coming in tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Here's Gutless by Botfly. You're listening to Halifax is Burning.
I slept till noon, driving to Florida. You'll never guess the capital, arriving in Florida.
A wonderful song from a record called Mersey River Memoirs by Wesley Smith. It's called Driving to Florida. Ended up in the old Halifax is Burning inbox today, so thanks to Wesley for sending it along. Got some very Sufjan Stevens vibes from that song. And also, Mersey River is drew my attention immediately because that is the river that runs through Kejimkujik National Park here in Nova Scotia, and I've spent a lot of time down there, and it's a beautiful place. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from this record from Wesley Smith. A few weeks ago here on the program, we played an excellent song for you by an artist who goes by the moniker Working Titles. Here is a track, once again, by Working Titles. It's called Heat. I think you're really going to like it. I like this one a lot. You're listening to Halifax is Burning.
I don't know. Now, are you sure you're ready to hear about this fast life that I lived? The flashing lights and the blackout nights just like this. Would you sacrifice your sanity while looking past my sins? And forgive my crazy friends for the trouble they got me in? I was as stubborn as an addict with a habit for arguments. Scarred with a troubled past and some of the darkest of intents. But if I make a conscious effort to clear my mind of this pressure and cross your heart and promise you'll accept it.
These are my confessions. I trip on my words. A simple collection of bridges I burned. Don't wanna make you leave. Wish this was make-believe. These are my confessions and lessons I've learned. My conscience, my reverend, yeah, you are my church. Hope that you understand. You make me a better man.
Angels collided with my demons, trying to provide reasons to the people that I cheated. The guilt has been built in the air that I'm breathing. I tried whiskey, I tried pills, and I tried Jesus. I feel a chill in the air as I'm airing out my grievance. The hair standing up on my neck like fans standing for the championship national anthem high on the bleachers. Somebody please just be my preacher.
These are my confessions. I trip on my words. A simple collection of bridges I burned. Don't wanna make you leave. This was make-believe. These are my confessions and lessons I've learned.
Then you walk away. Try to pretend that you're strong as Superman. A little thought makes you hit the brakes. What's the point any other way? No regrets, I'm just here to say.
These are my confessions. I trip on my words. A simple collection of bridges I burned. Don't wanna make you leave. This was make-believe. These are my confessions and lessons I've learned.
Song by Quake Matthews from his new album Celebrate the Struggle. It's a song that won Quake the SoCan Songwriter of the Year award this year at the Music Nova Scotia Awards, which took place just last weekend in Truro, Nova Scotia. Gonna leave you with a band this evening who picked up the alternative recording of the year for their album Family Hangover. We're gonna hear a track from Walrus. Walrus will be here in a studio in the next couple weeks to talk about their new record as they get ready for the Halifax hometown release of the album Family Hangover. Until then, here's this track from them called Regular Face. Take care of yourselves and one another. We'll see you next week.